and welcome to The Valley Today. I am your host, Janet Michael, and this is going to be a really interesting show because I have a very nervous guest sitting across from me. Louis O'Berry is here from Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, and I don't know why he's nervous because he absolutely knows so much about what we're going to talk about today, which is some energy conservation tips. We're going to talk about how you can save some money on your electric bill, but Louis, don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous at all, Janet.
Oh, yeah. You're freaking out and carrying it. Yeah, please. Come on. See? Now that you're on the air right now, and it's just normal.
That's right.
See?
And it's great to be here.
Well, thank you for coming. So, Louis, tell me a little bit about Rappahannock Electric Cooperative.
Well, Rappahannock Electric Cooperative is a primary rural electric cooperative. We serve 22 counties, basically from the Blue Ridge Mountains all the way to the Chesapeake Bay. So we have a pretty large service territory, and we're pretty large as co-ops go. We're approaching our 80th year of service.
Wow.
80th year in operation. And we maintain about 16,000 miles of power line and right-of-way. And approximately 160,000 members.
That is huge. Now, you say members because I know a lot of us from this area, we were talking about this before we came into the studio, you know, 100 and a half years ago, I had Potomac Edison, and then it became Allegheny Power, and Then Rappahannock Electric moved in. So how is a cooperative different than what our traditional electric companies are that some of us have had?
Well, we say members, and we say that for a reason. When we think, you know, you and I are consumers, just like anybody else, so we're always referred to as a customer. But with a co-op, we're a nonprofit, and we're member-owned. So when you become when we provide you electric service, basically you own a portion of the cooperative, and so it's member-owned, and we focus on that.
And that makes sense because I get the news, I get the little magazine that comes, and I get the notices for annual meetings. I can actually participate in the annual meetings and help choose board of directors and things along those lines.
Sure. Every member has voting rights. We put out that proxy every year. And like I said, that's our main focus there, is making the member first and foremost.
Well, and it's cool, too, because I have a co-op card, so that also entitles me to special deals and discounts and things like that, which you traditionally don't get from any of your utility companies.
That's right. We've been able to partner with a lot of local businesses, restaurants, HVAC companies, some service providers, and they're able to provide nice little discounts at certain times of the year, and some businesses provide discounts all year long. So the co-op connections card is a definite way to save some money in the community, and that's just one thing that we focus on is community. You know, many of our employees live on our lines, so essentially, you know, we're serving our neighbors, and we're rooted in those communities very well. And that's basically everybody that works in all of our offices. We have, you know, obviously our main office being in Fredericksburg, and then we have three convenient regional offices located in Bowling Green, and obviously, you know, up here in Blue Ridge and Front Royal and in the Culpeper.
Well, and that's an interesting thing, too, because, you know, the town of Front Royal proper has its own power. You know, the town provides the electric. Warren County, you service some of Warren County. You service some. I'm in Frederick County, and I'm a Rappahannock Electric member. So you guys have a pretty wide swath here in the Shenandoah Valley, but you split it with the Shenandoah Valley Electric Co-op.
We do. You know, the territory lines are, you know, they meander around as other utilities provide in some of the local townships. But we take care of, we service a majority of the outlying areas.
So tell me specifically, what is it that you do at Rappahannock Electric? Because this is kind of why you're here today. You're going to settle
That's right.
So many arguments between my husband and I today. It is going to be amazing.
Well, I'm not responsible for what happens after you go home. So, but yes, ma'am, I'm one of the energy advisors, and my role at REC is to basically assist members with energy usage questions. We also assist with usage concerns. So if somebody has an escalated bill and they're not sure of where that usage came from, we help explain that to them, and we do that multiple ways. We can do that via email. We can do that via phone conversation. And one thing that we pride ourselves in doing is that we take the time to go out and see the member at their home. Fortunately for myself, I've got a vast amount of HVAC experience, which is a large focus in residential energy use. So when you blend that along with some of the construction and building science experience that the energy advisors at REC have, it's an invaluable resource to our member, and we're able to go into their home and solve issues and also give them insight on improvements and things of the like.
Well, and that's one of the things you were telling me when we were sitting in before we came into the studio to go on the air was, you know, I was telling you about all the things that we do and the fact that my house is an extremely old house. It was built in the late 40s, early 50s. And you said, well, you know, I can just come out and do a walk. I had no, and I've been an REC customer for many years. Yes, I had no idea that was available.
Yes, ma'am. We always offer that service. We always have. And it's a free service. So we'll come out and walk through your home and show you anything that you – any kind of questions that you have regarding weatherization, meaning, you know, how well your home is insulated or air sealed, along with some diagnostic tools that we're able to use from time to time to quantify that.
Well, so then let me ask you. I call you up and say, hey, I need you to come and just tell me if there's some things that I could be doing better to save me some money. You pull in the driveway. Do you have like a system? Is there – what's the first thing you do? You get out of the truck. Are you going to check my windows and doors? What do you normally do?
We typically come out and I'll bring usage information and your history since you started service at the residence, and we sit down at the table and basically go through and analyze your usage. But one of the tools that I use to do that is a tool that you also have. We've been very fortunate to have upgraded our customer database, or our member database rather, and with that is coupled a program called Smart Hub. And Smart Hub is a tool that and you were saying that you actually use the app, which is a good thing.
Love the app.
You know what I'm talking about. But Smart Hub is a very useful tool that allows you to not only pay your bill online and contact REC. You can do a lot of things like that. You can report an outage. But one of the tools was enhanced very much was that, you know, obviously, you know, we're able to capture information from the meter, and when we do that, we're able to display that in an easy to read bar graph with a lot of sidebar information on there, so that you can understand your daily, monthly, and even hourly usage. So obviously, you know, if you don't understand kilowatt hours, you and I are consumers just like one the same. And before I knew what I knew about, you know, home efficiency and electricity and kilowatt hours, obviously I talked in dollars and cents too.
Yes.
So that's what we understand. But, you know, once you, you know, we can coach you through that and we can walk you through the program, explain how things work and explain what uses what in regards to power in your home. So it kind of brings things into perspective. And that tool is invaluable to our members. It really empowers them to be cognizant of what they're doing in their home.
Oh yeah, well, and I have used the app. Like we were talking about earlier, I pulled the app up and was shown, and you even showed me some things I didn't know was there. So I can't wait to go back in on the computer and set up new notifications that tell me, hey, you're using too much today, or, you know, kind of set some parameters.
Right. There's a lot of features on the Smart Hub program, and you know, everything, like I said, from notifications to on your own level in regards to usage, coupled with outages, and you can contact REC. You can talk to somebody in billing. You can talk to one of us. You can talk to me. You know, you can contact an energy expert. You can also access some of our online tools that are on our website, like our space heater calculators. We have a couple tools on there, one called Billing Insights, where you can go in and plug information about your home, and it will give you some ideas for energy savings and things of that nature. Then we can come out and enhance that a little bit with that walkthrough.
Awesome. Well, and that's, you know, and that's kind of what my thought was when I originally said, hey, you know, I think I should have you guys on. There are a ton of arguments that probably go on every day in everybody's house, and especially now that it's getting cold outside. And the biggest one is probably over the number on the thermostat.
Sure. You know, when we look at residential household energy use, and we take that and look at the all-electric home, so we take fossil fuel out of the equation for a minute, because everybody's circumstances are a little bit different and everybody lives differently. But as an average, in the all-electric house, the heating is 42% of your annual energy use. So it's a big deal. So that, you know, areas where your mechanical system, if you have a mechanical system that's not running very well, or your home is not very efficient, you know, there's some strikes against you right there. So there's things that we can control when it comes to those kind of costs, and there's things that we can't. We can control where we put that thermostat,
yeah,
Janet. But, you know, and we can control to a reasonable degree how well our home is insulated and how well it's air sealed, and we can control how well our system is installed and designed and how well the heat pump's running. And, of course, we can also upgrade it.
Yeah.
To make it a little bit more efficient. But the main thing that we can control is what? If I had to ask you a question and said, what do you think out of all the things that control our power use in the wintertime, what do you think that we can't control?
That's the weather.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the weather. So, you know, as outdoor temperatures decrease, with that percentage in mind, you know, if it's 42% of your annual energy use, and you look at the hardcore months where we're heating, you know, heating your home can be almost 70% of your particular monthly bill
each
month. So, and depending on how the weather has influenced that, it will tell you real quick. So as the outdoor temperatures go down, your house is giving up more heat to the outside because, you know, heat is always going to seek a colder environment. Hot always goes to cold. And what's going to happen is the system's going to run harder. So there's going to be more demand on the system inherently using
more energy.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense. Well, I tell you what, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to have a list of questions. I got some, the arguments are going to start.
Sounds good.
Yeah, this, if this, or that. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Lewis O'Berry. He is with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. I am Janet Michael, and you're listening to The Valley Today.
Forever Fridays on the River 95.3 is brought to you by CNC Frozen Treats on Main Street in Front Royal. Join the River 95.3 and the Warren County Humane Society every third Friday as we feature animals that need a forever home. The Warren County Humane Society will feature cats and dogs available for adoption. Forever Friday, the third Friday of every month with the Warren County Humane Society and the River 95.3. Forever Friday, proudly sponsored by CNC Frozen Treats, Main Street, Front Royal.
It's Kern Motor Company's final end-of-model sale on all in-stock Buicks and GMCs. Save thousands on two fuel-efficient Buicks, the mid-size sedan Buick Verano and the versatile small SUV, the Encore. Kern Motor Company also has the mid-size SUV GMC Terrain, the full-size Acadia, and Sierra pickups that must go. You don't need to go to the city to get a deal. Just ask for me, Trey Kern, at Kern Motor Company, where you will save. 2110 Valley Avenue in Winchester or online at KernMotorCo.com.
Experience an 18th century Virginia Christmas with a tour of the historic Belgrove Plantation in Middletown. From December 1st through the 30th, it's Holiday Memories, a celebration of antique toys at Belgrove. Take a guided or self-guided tour, even a tour by candlelight, and enjoy live music on the weekends. For specific tour schedules and Christmas event info, visit belgrove.org and step back in time to a Christmas past at historic Belgrove Plantation.
My experience with Heritage Hall was very positive. My mother and sister resided there. I cannot say enough about the staff at Heritage Hall. Personnel is key to a good organization. Heritage Hall staff has caring personalities. Their actions spoke to doing the right thing for each person, providing a listening ear, a sense of humor, and a helping hand, treating everyone as family. The staff certainly made my family more comfortable at this stage of life. I couldn't have done it without them.
Their family exists to care for yours. Heritage-Hall.org. This is The Valley Today. Check out our new home in cyberspace, theriver953.com. Everything you need in one convenient location. Developed by Web Strategies and driven by Apple Valley Hyundai. That's theriver953.com.
Mostly sunny with a high of 45 today, increasing cloudiness tonight, a low of 28, and Friday as low pressure moves up the coast, look for cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Could see a little precipitation on Friday night, a little better chance of rain and snow showers on Saturday, highs will be near 40, and then another low pressure system tracks across the area Saturday night, bringing another chance of rain and snow showers. And Sunday, mostly sunny and just cold with a high of 35 as high pressure builds in. Monday, mostly sunny and 44. Enjoy your afternoon. Kemp Miller for The Valley Today.
Welcome back to The Valley Today. I am your host, Janet Michael, and this segment is brought to you by Valley Health Orthopedics, offering minimally invasive surgery options for a quicker recovery. You can learn more at valleyhealthlink.com. We are in the studio today with Lewis O'Berry. He is with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, and we talked a little bit, Lewis, in the first segment about Rappahannock and the fact that it's a cooperative, which sets itself apart a little bit from some of the traditional utility companies and all the benefits and perks to that. But what I want to get to now is why you're here. here because you are an energy efficiency expert. Isn't that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And if not, you are now because I've just dubbed you the expert.
That's right.
Okay, so that works.
I'll be sure to take that back to Fredericksburg.
Yeah, and you tell Jeff Henson that Janet said you were an expert, and then you'll get a raise, and he'll think that you're just the greatest thing because, you know, Jeff and I agree on so many things.
I understand.
So when we went to break, we were talking about the fact that 42% of your winter expenses in electricity comes from heating your home.
Annually, yes, ma'am.
So let me ask you, I've heard a range of different things. For example, set your thermostat at a certain temperature and then leave it. Don't ever change it. I've heard turn it down when you leave in the morning. Why heat a house when you're not there all day? Turn it down when you're in bed at night. Is there really a method to the madness, and what's going to save me the most money?
Well, there is a method to the madness, Janet, and really and truly, we recommend 68 degrees for the occupied home. And I know that may sound a little chilly for some folks, but 68 is the most efficient setting for heat pump.
Okay.
Or electric system, or any system for that matter. So at 68 degrees, if you can, if that's comfortable to you, you just have to be cognizant that any degrees that you go above that setting is obviously going to have an inherited cost, and that's going to hinge on those things we talked about earlier, which would be how efficient your home is and how well your system is operating. So in that respect, 68 degrees for the occupied home is the best setting for heating. You know, obviously we're not in the cooling season, but we recommend 78 for cooling.
Now, and that's really not that bad. 68, if it's chilly
not.
To you,
it's
you know,
not.
You throw on a sweater. We have oil heat at home, and I am so cheap, it is not even funny. So brace yourself. Our thermostat all the time is set at 62.
Nothing wrong with that. It's a whole lot.
I'm always cold, but
an electric blanket than yes. it is. It's tidy to
yes,
touch
Yes, exactly.
Right?
And they use a whole lot less energy,
yes,
and
ma'am.
It's a lot cheaper. So.
Yes, ma'am. So, you know, when it comes to heating your house while you're gone, you know, there has been studies done, and there is evidence that you will save approximately, or you can save up to 10%. percent a year by doing one or two setbacks a day. And what I mean by a setback is basically going from that recommended occupied setting at 68 degrees and moving the thermostat back to, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 degrees. I mean, there are some theories out there that basically say maybe you could go a little bit more, but you know, 6 degrees is a good start, or 4 to 6 degrees is a good start. Now, the best way to do that is with the use of a programmable thermostat, because as we all know, a heat pump, mm-hmm. we all see that auxiliary heat light come on and everybody goes, oh no, the electric heat is on. That's where it's
I see dollar money. Signs flying and, through
and,
the air.
And it is, because obviously we're getting more heat, not to get too technical, but we're
right.
getting more heat out of a heat pump for the dollar than what we are with any kind of what we call resistive heat. So when the strip heat comes on, it's not something that we want to happen all the time. But it is something that will happen as the temperatures get colder outside. But when we manipulate the thermostat a lot, or more than 2 or 3 degrees at a time, we bring that electric heat on, and we can make that happen. So if you're using a manual thermostat doing a setback, you have to be judicious and careful
okay.
about getting the house back up to temperature. So we recommend the use of a programmable thermostat. Now, programmable thermostats have some of them have Wi-Fi capabilities so that you have connectivity while you're gone. You know, we live in a very tech-savvy world
yeah.
today. I'm not one of those guys.
I'm not either.
I'm okay
Ours,
with,
I have to push the up arrow
well,
or the down
I use
arrow.
A programmable thermostat,
I may get one
quite,
now.
You know, I'm not quite there. So, but you know, all in all, if you set that, a lot of those thermostats have what's called adaptive intelligent recovery, and that basically stages the system as smarter so that it can recover the degrees or the temperature
okay.
that you set it back.
So it's efficient in and of
it
itself
is.
Sometimes.
And that's right.
Okay.
So we recommend – I mean, obviously they sell programmable thermostats at Lowe's and everywhere you can go now. But, you know, we recommend if you're not comfortable with your own installation that you definitely get a licensed
– electrician or somebody to
well,
come.
Well, that would
yeah.
be more of an HVAC contractor because
oh,
they
see,
can
I didn't
fine-tune
know
that.
That
to your home. So – and we always recommend using – technicians that are NATE certified and you know doing your due diligence mm-hmm. there and choosing a contractor wisely.
We personally recommend AirServe because you're sitting in the AirServe studio
I
right now.
That.
Are you looking
I'm
at their
looking
banner?
At that banner. So they have some clout.
That sounds like a great. I tell you what, we're about a minute away from a break, so let me ask you. Are there days and times of the year that we – it's because I know sometimes I'll get an email from Rappahannock that's asking me to conserve energy.
Okay. Well, that's a voluntary thing that we do in the summertime. Obviously, our rates – not to get too in-depth
right.
on rates, but, you know, our rates are set yearly. You know, we purchase – we're obviously not a generation cooperative. We are a distribution co-op. So, you know, we pay our – we buy the power, and that's an inherited – we pass
right.
that cost down to each member for what they use. So, at the end of the day – our rates are set by our peak demand, and our peak demand is in the summertime. that's when we have the most demand on the grid.
And that makes sense, because people can live with being cold and put on a jacket, but everybody wants to not be hot.
Not everybody heats their home with electricity. So our peak demand, but we can't live without air conditioning anymore, Janet.
I know.
So that's when our peak demand is, and that's how our rates are set, for lack of better terms. And what happens there is when we go into a load control, we're asking our members to basically conserve, or shut the pool pump off. Obviously, we have AC switches out there that curtail the air conditioners in the cooling mode for periods of time during that period.
And then that helps, if enough people do that together,
right.
That helps keep the overall pricing
exactly.
down.
Exactly. So if you do it some voluntarily on your own, or you allow us to do some curtailing remotely, then it helps the grid, and it doesn't save you energy as far as your bill is concerned right now, as far as kilowatt
hours.
In the short term,
but
long term picture, it's controlling the rate.
And we all have to help each other.
That's right.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take another quick break. I can see now, though, that we are probably not going to get through all of these tips. So what I'm going to do is warn our listeners that we are probably going to have an after-the-show conversation, and we're going to keep talking when we're done. But right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk for a few more minutes with Lewis O'Berry. He is with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. I am Janet Michael, and you're listening to The Valley Today.
Weekends on the River just got even better, thanks to the Better Beer Store. Weekends deserve better beer, and the Better Beer Store has the best selection of craft beers in the area. Create your own craft six-pack or fill up from the growler bar. The Better Beer Store offers complimentary tastings each weekend. For the best selection of craft beers and the best local Virginia brews, there's the Better Beer Store. For a schedule of tastings and the latest news and events, like and share the Better Beer Store of Winchester on Facebook. Weekends on the River, proudly sponsored by the Better Beer Store, because you deserve better beer.
Hello, this is Seth Alcorn, pastor at the Rivermont Baptist Church. I would like to invite you to come out and be with us in our services this Sunday. We're located off Route 619 on Catlett Mountain Road in Front Royal. Our Sunday services are at 9:45 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. If you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God and has Christ-honoring music, come and give us a visit. Also, listen here on the River 95.3 for the Knowing Him broadcast Sunday morning at 8:30. May the Lord bless you is our prayer.
Book your holiday parties now at Holiday Inn and Suites, Blue Ridge Shadows, Houlihan's Restaurant, and Blue Ridge Shadows Golf Club. Accommodations are available for 10 to 300 guests, and they're close to I-81 and 66 in the historic Shenandoah Valley. Holiday Inn and Suites, Blue Ridge Shadows, Houlihan's Restaurant, and Blue Ridge Shadows Golf Club will make your event a success with specialty seasonal menus starting at just $15.95. And bar packages and discounted guest room rates are also available. Visit HighFrontRoyalVA.com. That's HighFrontRoyalVA.com.
Front Royal Federal Credit Union is building a stronger community with a Royal Treatment Vehicle Loan Program. Finance your new boat, motorcycle, RV, or car, or transfer your current loan financed elsewhere and receive $10 to pay it forward. Buy coffee for the person behind you. Take a meal to a neighbor. Add an extra quarter to the vending machine. However you want to make an impact on your community. Post your good deed on the credit union's Facebook page and be entered into a $500 drawing. $250 for you, $250 donated to a Warren County 501c3 charity of your choosing. For more information, call 540-635-7133. No purchase necessary. Federally insured by the NCUA. You're listening to The Valley Today.
Welcome back to The Valley Today. I am your host, Janet Michael, and this segment is brought to you by Valley Health Urgent Care. Can't wait to see a doctor? Now you don't have to. You can even check in online and save time at vhurgentcare.com. We are in the studio today with Lewis O'Berry. He is with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, and we talked a little bit in the very beginning of the show about Rappahannock Electric and the services and coverage area that it has, and in the last segment we were talking about some energy efficiency, how to kind of judge and gauge what you're using, when you're using it, and how often you're using it. Lewis is going to give us a couple of tips that we can do to make our house a little bit more energy efficient. And I know we want to talk about space heater things and how they impact, but we're probably going to have that conversation off air when the show is done. So make sure that you go over to our website at theriver953.com and listen to this podcast when we're done. But Lewis, you just said, because now you're an old radio hand, oh, I can do these tips in like 3 minutes. That's no problem. So let's see how good you are.
Let's try my hand. So obviously we were talking about HVAC and how important it is, mm-hmm. Residentially speaking. So let's focus on a few things that you can do for your house.
Perfect.
And get it prepared for winter, so outside of the HVAC. So one other thing that kind of ties in with that, though, is one, you know, 40% of your energy can be lost through leaky ductwork and poorly insulated ductwork that's, let's say, it's located in a crawl space or located in an attic space, which we find that's where it's at.
Ours
most
is
of
in the
time.
Basement and, exactly. and banging so, stuff on it when you're carrying things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be a good idea before wintertime hits hard is to get that inspected by your HVAC contractor. Let them go through there and make sure that everything is sealed and insulated well, especially if the duct is in unheated or uncooled spaces.
Okay.
You know, obviously, you know, you want to tighten up your envelope or your home as much as possible. You want to seal the uppermost levels of your house, so any gaps and cracks between the sheetrock ceiling or your ceiling area and your attic space are very important because your house acts like a big chimney in the wintertime, and the air passes – well, the heat transfers
and
through the bottom
right
and
up.
Heads right on up. So those are some things that you definitely want to focus on. So if you stop the air leaks up high, you're going to inherently stop them down low. But then you go down low, down in the crawl space or basement area, and seal those up. So if you have a basement that's not insulated and a floor system that's not insulated and it's basically communicating or the air can pass between the two spaces, then you have a chance of losing a considerable amount of energy through that area. So,
well, and when you say not, I mean, our basement is a cinder block basement with a concrete floor and right. the walls are exposed. I can see the floorboards right. to the living room upstairs when we're in it. That's what
that's
you
right.
mean by
so
non-insulated.
Those are all things that would be a space that's being essentially conditioned, but it's not insulated. So those would be some areas to look at. It doesn't affect you as much in the summer, but it does
right.
affect you in the winter quite a bit. Other things affecting with your water heater, you want to make sure that you potentially have a blanket on it if it's in an unconditioned space. At least the first 6 feet of hot water line is insulated and insulated well. That will save you some energy on standby loss from the water heater as well.
I need a blanket for the hot water heater because it's
go.
In that basement
here
we were just talking about. So you would so give me an F on my report card if you came to my house.
I'll come anytime, Janet. Just give
yeah,
me a phone.
Yeah, and then you'll tell everybody that I got an F on my energy efficiency
I
report.
I promise I won't divulge on anybody else's.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are almost out of time here for the Valley today. Lewis is going to hang around for a little bit, and we're going to talk about space heaters, how much energy they actually use, and then some safety tips for where to put them and how often you should use them, electric blankets, and since you mentioned that earlier.
And if we have a little bit more time, maybe talk a little bit about baseboard heating or electric baseboard. That
absolutely.
Ties in with
perfect.
That
so hang out with us online. When we are done here, we're going to keep on talking. So later on this afternoon, you'll be able to hear all of the tips and everything if you head over to our website at theriver953.com. Click on demand. From there, you'll see the Valley Today, so you'll be able to choose it and listen to everything that we talk about when we keep talking now in just a minute or two. Does that work?
Great.
But thank you for coming to hang out with me.
It was my pleasure to be here.
And you did good. You did fine. Everybody should be proud of you. That about wraps it up for me today. I'm Janet Michael. Thanks for listening to The Valley Today. Welcome back to The Valley Today after the show. We are still in the studio. I'm still your host, Janet Michael. Lewis O'Berry is still here from Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And
you haven't kicked me out yet, Janet?
I haven't. And see, you were so worried and so nervous at the beginning of this that your heart rate was racing and your palms were sweaty and you got text messages while we were live. Live on the air from people listening saying you're doing
something?
A good job. See? Now you need to, like, you know, they're going to want your, oh, you're going to have to get 8x10 glossies. You're
well,
going to have to get autographs.
Jeff Henson did say I could become famous tomorrow.
Yeah, well, because,
in the Blue Ridge
you know.
Area.
So thank you for, though, agreeing to hang out because I wondered when we were talking earlier before we went on the air whether or not we'd have enough time to cover all the information because this is important, especially this time of year. It's very timely information.
Right. I was a little apprehensive that we would because there are some key points and there's some things that probably we should discuss.
Yeah.
And they're the things that we discuss a lot with our members, but the more we get it out there and the more we get the message out, and it becomes second nature.
It does, and it makes perfect sense. Now, when we wrapped up the show just a few minutes ago, we were talking, you were giving me a list of tips and things that we could do to our homes to make them a little bit more energy efficient. Did you have some more that you couldn't get to before we went off
well,
the air?
Well, we discussed the HVAC piece, which is the biggest part of it. We discussed the water heater. Water heating is obviously a large ticket item as well. I mean, just your water heater sitting there, the reason I say it's a good idea to put a blanket on a water heater if it's in an unconditioned garage or a cellar like you have or a basement area that's not directly conditioned, the standby loss in that, even if you're not using your water heater all day.
Right.
It's going to use between 3 and 9 kilowatt hours just sitting there maintaining the water at the temperature that you have it set at. So if you have it set at 120, which is our recommended
setting. And that's probably what ours is.
Most likely. Most people are between 120 and 130.
I'm writing that down so I can check it. Does it have – how do I check the –
Well, you'd have to take the cover off, so that would tell you to be careful with that because there's some live wires behind that. So shut the breaker off if you feel more comfortable doing that. Take the front little panel cover off, and you'll see a thermostat there. And a lot of times they have a recommended setting. You'll see a shadowing on the thermostat.
Yeah. And it's relatively new. Ours is only a couple of years old, and it was professionally installed, so I'm sure that they put it at whatever.
They probably set it up, you're probably already at 120 degrees. But that's something that you need to make sure as well. And it, like I said, it's just sitting there. It's going to use power. And a lot of people think it doesn't use power.
Because it's not being used.
Right.
So.
And, you know, it's kind of a segue off of that, if you will. A house that's unoccupied will use almost as much power as a house that's occupied, because when you leave the core appliances on, like the HVAC system,
your refrigerator,
everything is running. The house is basically what we would consider steady state. And aside from taking a shower, washing some clothes,
watching TV,
some lights on. I know everybody thinks lights is a big portion of your bill. It's really not. It's anywhere from 3 to 5% of your annual energy consumption. So
all these years I've been yelling at my kids to turn their lights off when they leave a room.
Let's just say that the thermostat, the person that guards the thermostat, has more power than the person that guards the light switch, let's just say.
That just made my husband happy.
Well, we can see it. You know, you see lights.
Yeah.
When you cut the switch on, you see it. But, you know, and we can talk a little bit about lighting, but really, the main focus I wanted to discuss was the things that are going to save you the most energy and save you energy right now.
Yeah.
And that's what we discussed so far. So, you know, addressing the issues with the water heater, making sure it's set at the right temperature, insulating the hot water lines that are in unconditioned space, or at least the first three to six feet, if you can do that, put a blanket on the heater, on the water heater, if it's in an unconditioned space, will help as well.
Now, here's the other big question: windows, because everybody thinks their windows are getting air. I know mine are, because when I asked you just in between while we were setting up, and you said, "Are your curtains moving?" and I said, "Yes, they are." So at least I was right there.
Advanced Energy did a study some years ago and stated that new windows, if you had operating perfectly fine double pane windows, that if you went to a low E, high end, when we say low E argon gas, mm-hmm. everybody pretty much knows what that is in the industry now. You know, so if you were to get a high end window, you know, that's the best window that you can buy today, you're going to save approximately $125 a year in a mild climate. Well, we are considered to live in a mild climate. So if you take that in dollars and cents, my advice I always try to give sound advice. Now, if you can see the curtains blowing around on a windy day, you have a problem.
You have a draft.
Quite obviously, you have a major draft. A lot of people will stand in front of a piece of glass and they'll think that they're feeling a draft. And you essentially do. If you ever – I encourage you to go home tonight, and when you put your hand down at the lower end of the glass just below the sash or the sill, and you put your hand down there, you feel this – what you think is cold air rushing in, or it feels colder. I don't know if you ever noticed that. But there's a convective loop in front of each window, and that's basically energy that's, for lack of better terms, trying to be non-technical as eye level as possible here so you can understand – it's basically energy that's rotating around the glass because of the energy that's being consumed by the glass.
Ah.
So when you stand in front of a piece of glass, your body temperature is, you know, argumentatively 98 degrees or 98.7. The temperature of the glass is much colder. We talked about earlier in the show how hot always goes to cold, or heat is going to seek a colder environment. So it's your body heat being transferred to the glass that's giving you the effect that you've
– So it's kind of like a mirage.
So you created a draft, essentially. So what I do, you know, and all, you know, what I recommend to members that have issues with that is that I recommend that they use a thermal drape from ceiling to floor, and that basically breaks up that convective loop.
Oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And you can buy those anywhere.
Absolutely.
I mean, and they make them even pretty now, so it doesn't matter, you know, what they look like. So that makes a whole lot of sense.
That's right.
Now, we have, like I said, our house is a very old house, late 40s, early 50s, and we still have the metal storm windows and the wooden window sashes. So, yes, it's blowing, and we can see, and we put the plastic insulation, which is my husband hates that every year.
So if you have single pane windows, we always recommend that, you know, if you can't afford a window replacement at that point, then we recommend that you use a high quality storm, you know, have somebody professionally mm-hmm. install a high quality storm, or use window film kits to kind of cut back on some of the leakage, because in those cases the window is failing and you have something that you have to address.
Well, and it's one of those things too where, you know, when Tim finally gets around to putting those up, I usually am on him pretty quickly. As soon as the heat comes on, I feel like it's all going right out the window. So we've got to get that stuff up on those windows pretty quickly. Personally, and I know it's all in my mind, I instantly feel warmer the minute he puts that film up. But you can also see that.
Sure.
That's another good gauge, even if you want to maybe use it as a test, is if you put those up on your windows and when the wind is blowing, if you see that film moving in and out, then you've clearly got some air that's blowing in that way.
That's right. And we have a way to quantify that. I can depressurize a home and actually create a influences a 20-mile-an-hour wind on all six sides of the house. And it finds things. But it finds a lot of things sometimes that you can't always fix or can't fix very reasonably inexpensive.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times people think the windows are leaking and it's not necessarily the case. And I go in and show them that it's the other things that are leaking that are actually causing
the problem.
Issues than what your windows are. But if your house was built in the 40s and you have single pane windows and you can see the curtains moving, you might have a problem, Janet.
Yeah, I know. And that's the other reason why I don't want to turn the heat up too high, because I don't want to be spending money to still not be
warm. Window replacement is expensive. I mean, that's something that, you know, that the average person will not want to incur. I mean, it's right next to replacing your heat pump or your HVAC system. It's a very large ticket item.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you need to warn it before you do it, for sure.
Well, and when you were talking earlier, and I know a lot of what you were talking from an energy efficiency standpoint, you talked about the all-electric home that has the heat pump and that sort of thing. We have an oil furnace, so we have the oil heat.
Right.
But I know that there are a lot of people that, even if they have an oil furnace, oil isn't cheap either. I mean, that's an expensive endeavor to have that tank full. I mean, I think the last time, a couple of weeks ago, we had oil delivered, it was $2.50, I think, a gallon for that oil. So a lot of people on even tighter budgets are using space heaters.
Right.
And some of them do it because they think it's cheaper. Some of them do it because they have no other alternative. What is your, you know, what kind of tips can you give us about a space heater?
Online, on our website, we have what's called a space heater calculator. And that will allow you to go in, plug in how many space heaters you're using, and how many hours a day that you're using them. And it's got our current rates tied into it. And it will basically give you a cost based on that. But the easy math is that all space heaters are the same. They're all created equal. So when you walk into the store and you walk into Home Depot and your big retailers and you're looking at this gigantic wall of space heaters, this one says it'll do 500 square foot. This one says it'll do 1,000. And this one says it's Amish made and all the things such. But there are different categories of those space heaters. We have, you know, we have infrared. We have convection type. We have radiant type. So we have different types out there, okay? And those heaters are all rated at the same wattage. Unfortunately, you know, they're all 110, plug them into the wall. Mm-hmm. They're all rated at 1,500 watts on high. Every single one of them will use the exact same amount of power.
Ah.
And they'll give you the exact same amount of heat. So one space heater will do about 5,100 BTUs. And doesn't matter what type it is, it will give you the same amount of heat. Now, when it comes to space heaters and feeling comfortable, you know, for the folks that like to use them to temper a room off or to sit in a chair and watch TV and just knock the edge off because they, you know, they have the impression that the heat pump just doesn't feel warm like your nice cozy oil furnace that you have. You know, we recommend an infrared or quartz heater, and the quartz heaters are the type that actually they don't heat the air; they actually heat objects and heat things in the room. So when you place it in front of you, that's why when you put that you get a quartz heater and you put it in front of you and you feel the heat instantly, is because it's not heating the air. It's designed to heat objects. So the old oil-filled radiator style, they heat the air, which is why when you put it in the room, it takes a while. And it has to heat the air. So as it layers into you, you finally feel comfortable after about, you know, X amount of time, but you don't feel the heat instantaneously. So the quartz heaters are a little bit better in regards to that. But as far as efficiency is concerned, efficiency is out the door. Electric heat is one of those things. It is what it is. A good friend of mine used to say that a lot. He used to say it is what it is. And that's essentially a very true statement, because with all types of electric heat, whether it's your supplemental heat in your heat pump, whether it's a baseboard heater on the wall, whether it's the heater that's inside your electric water heater that's heating your water, they all operate the same way. So it's one unit of heat for one unit of energy.
So
it's 100% efficient, but you get what you get.
Yeah.
So in regards to space heaters, that's why we say they're not really designed to heat an entire home. They're more designed to spot heat certain areas. So for folks that use space heaters or use multiple space heaters, we recommend keeping the core of the house, you know, from
at
freezing,
a
obviously,
temperature.
Or as low as possible. It might be uncomfortably cool in the balance of the house, but those are the things that we recommend to do, and only heat the room that you're in and confine your activities and closed doors to confine that heat as much as possible in the room where you're staying. Obviously, the interior walls aren't insulated, and the heat is going to escape inherently to the other rooms and transfer, but it's not going to do it as fast, and you're not paying the dollars and cents to run all those at one time. Just to kind of put it into perspective, one space heater running 12 hours a day will cost you, at our current rates, almost $70 for one month. Yes, ma'am. So
wow,
it's a big deal. So when you run multiple units, or you run it for in excess of 12 hours a day, you can spend, if it ran full time, you know,
yeah, if you turn it on,
it's about $135 or a little over $130 for the month. That's on our current rate. So really and truly, space heaters are not they're okay, but you have to use them conscientiously.
Yes, and that's kind of the key. And, of course, from a safety perspective, you never want to leave them on when you're not at home.
That's right.
You don't want to make sure – you want to make sure they're away from these thermal curtains that you have from floor to ceiling,
right.
Blankets, furniture, things like that.
So I just had the glory of turning 40, so I'm just old enough to know the old and still wet behind the ears in some ways, I guess. So, you know, I remember when I was growing up and I would go to – you know, I would call my grandma my meemaw, which a lot of people do, especially in this area. So I would go to Meemaw's house. She ran an attic fan or a whole house fan in the morning. She would cut the air conditioner on or one single window unit in the house, and she would run that during the hot part of the day and then cut it back off. And she had baseboard heat. But baseboard heat operates just like a space heater. So a six-footer is going to be about 1,500 watts. It's about 250 watts per foot. So if you have a three-footer in the bathroom, quite obviously, you know, you have the inherited wattage. So when you run those, the advantage that you have is what's in every room in Meemaw's house that has baseboard heat on the wall? There's a thermostat, right?
So you can adjust each room.
Essentially, you can zone the house and keep the core area warm enough.
Yeah, if she's got extra bedrooms that nobody's using, just turn them off, close the door.
Yep. One thing we do advise with baseboard heaters, though, is that you make sure that if you're not – you don't want that heater to ever come on is that you isolate it at the breaker, because sometimes the thermostats don't have a true off setting and they will cycle on and off. So it's one of those things that they have their advantages, and they are more expensive to run than a typical conventional system in a house that's a good candidate for a central HVAC system. But you do have an advantage of zoning the house, so you can reverse the process at night. So at night you keep your bedroom warm and you turn the living areas down. And vice versa day to night.
Well, I have the electric blanket that I need to get, like a 25-foot extension cord, so I can just walk all over my house.
I wouldn't run it on a long extension cord. It's probably not a good idea. But really and truly, electric blanket, I know that sounds – it almost sounds trite to even say it.
Yeah.
It sounds like something like – it's almost like why should I use an electric blanket? Well, there is a reason. A space heater uses 1,500 watts. We just talked about that, and it's going to heat a room for a period of time. If you have a central system and you want to keep that turned down at 62, 63, the electric blanket approach that you're doing is actually ideal, because most electric blankets only use about 150 watts. So you could run we just actually had a post on our Facebook
on your
page,
Twitter. You tweeted your
tweeted
Tuesday
well.
Trivia.
So Tuesday trivia was how long can you run that blanket over the wintertime? So, you know, it's not costing you very much money at all to run that little 150 watt. Blanket. So, and you're staying warm and you're wrapped up on the couch. So, you know, I've recommended that before to some people that have those alternatives. And, you know, we talk about, you know, how electric heat works and how much wattage it actually uses. I have these same conversations with a lot of our folks that live that have homes that have all-electric furnaces, because the all-electric furnace uses a lot of energy. So if they can't quite swing operating and keeping the house at 68, 70 degrees and the whole thing, you know, you turn the thermostat down on that to 55, 60.
And they find alternative
Is the balance of the house uncomfortably cool? Yes, but using the central electric furnace minimally is possible to maintain the house, and then use a space heater or electric blanket
to kind of fill in the gaps.
Locally to fill the gaps in when you occupy the room is going to be a win-win.
Yeah. And, and you know, my husband, we have a fireplace, but we've never had a fire in the fireplace. It's not got, you know, a wood stove or anything.
That's a whole other thing. So, yeah. a roaring open fire really doesn't have a lot of benefit. The only benefit that you get
is the visual.
Is the visual of it. The ambiance is always nice.
And the smell.
And the crackle and the smell. But you only get the benefits of the radiant heat coming off of the fire itself right in front of it. It's actually introducing, you know, what does fire need to burn?
Air.
So yeah. Where do you think that air is coming from?
Yeah.
It's coming from outside. So a roaring fire can exhaust many, many air changes in your house over a 24-hour period. So it can actually influence your conventional system to come back on and run prematurely. It can do a lot of things. So it creates a mechanism, if you will, for infiltration or for air to be introduced from the outside.
Well, and that's something, too, we didn't quite touch on, but changing the filter. And no matter what your furnace is, like we have the oil furnace, so we always put a new filter in when the heater comes on, and then we'd put a new filter in when the air conditioner goes on.
We recommend a filter that has a MERV rating. Filters are rated in MERV, generally speaking, and we recommend a filter that has a 6 to 8 MERV, and that's basically like your 1-inch pleat, like a basic pleat that you would get from Lowe's or Home Depot. I would discourage you from doing a filter that's too restrictive, because there is a point where you can actually cause the system to work harder because of the pressure drop that's across the filter. So I actually did an article in, and you can actually archive the Cooperative Living magazines. If you say you read them quite a bit, I did an article on air filters that would answer a lot of those questions for our members and our listeners today. So
awesome. Now, and that was one of the other things. So if you have a lot of this information is on your website as well.
Sure.
From being able to get information about the app and downloading the app and setting up notifications. Where do people go if they want to just kind of do their own little bit of research from a Rappahannock Electric Cooperative perspective?
Well, one, the website's a good place to start. Obviously, we're there to answer those questions all the time, and that's what I would encourage our members to call in and to request speaking to us regarding energy concerns. A lot of our MSRs, our member service reps, have some good base knowledge in energy savings, but when it comes to home improvements and getting into the nuts and bolts of things, that's what we're there for, and we encourage them to transfer that member to us so that we can help them the best way possible.
Awesome. And what is the web address?
The web address is www.myrec.coop.
I knew it wasn't .com, and I couldn't remember that it's .coop, because that's kind of like a special thing for co-ops.
That's right.
See, that makes perfect sense. Well, have we covered everything? Did we get everything on your list? We got everything
close
on mine.
I think we're pretty close. I mean, we hit the hot items that you'll actually save some money starting off right now. Limit that space heater use. Make sure that your HVAC system is working as well as it can.
Put a blanket on your water heater.
Put a blanket on your water heater. If it's if it's inside the house, it's not as big of a deal, because it's surrounded by, around what we would consider the temperature that's in the home at that time. So the standby loss or the energy that it's going to use when it's not running is not going to be as bad. But overall, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to – this weekend, my dear husband is going to have to go to the attic and do an inspection, because we probably haven't been up in that attic four or five times in the 14 years we've lived in this house.
And I would certainly encourage anybody listening that has some interest in their home and wants one of us to come out and walk through, we'd be glad to do that.
And you do that at no charge. I mean, that doesn't – you just – and you have to be a member, obviously.
That's a service we provide residentially to our members, and that's just one of those other benefits of being a member of Rappahannock Electric.
Awesome. Well, I will put all of that information up on the podcast page when we're done here and we get it all
Sounds
up on the
great.
Website. But thank you for coming and doing the show and then hanging out and talking to me for a little bit
Absolutely.
Longer.
Absolutely. It's been fun.
Was it less nervous in this last part when you knew we weren't
no
on the
problem.
Air than the first part?
It's just the same, if you ask me.
See, I told you. You were so worried about nothing. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us a little bit longer here on the podcast edition of After the Show for the Valley today. I am Janet Michael, and I will see you back here on the air at 12:30 tomorrow. Thanks.